I somehow find myself to be the only person with slides. So I apologise for that in a way. But what I thought I would do with our last 5 minutes is very briefly give you a flavour of the kind of research that the group has been working on, grappling with as we process the themes that have been discussed this evening. And certainly in my own work, and I think for a lot of us in the Academy's task force, two enduring themes are the criminal justice system, of course, and race. And a common image I have in my head was, as I think about the themes of race and criminal justice in the United States, is something like the photograph we have up here. And this is from California, actually. I think this is Chino, and obviously conditions of intense overcrowding. Coming as I am from Cambridge, Massachusetts, the dominant image we have of race and criminal justice right at this moment, or at least through the month of August, looked more like this. This is the Beer Summit, obviously, and this is a somewhat more genteel and bucolic scene. And I think this has done the public conversation actually a great disservice. It's distracted us from the real issues and has effectively trivialised, as Glenn argued in a recent op-ed piece in the Times, has really served to trivialise what I think is really quite profound challenges of to social justice in America, and I think part of what we will try to do as a group is to recalibrate the debate and try and inject real public information into the discussion. So I'm going to give you a few simple facts about some recent trends in incarceration in the United States, some of which have been discussed already. I'm going to skip through that. Okay, this is the picture that Nikki was talking about earlier, and here's a figure showing incarceration rates in Western Europe. These are the advanced economies of Western Europe in the early 2000s, and the incarceration rate is a measure of the scale of a criminal justice system, a scale of a penal system, and it records the fraction of the population that are incarcerated. And we can see that in Western Europe, the incarceration rate was about 100 per 100,000, 0.1 of 1% of the population of these Western European countries were behind bars. And then the US incarceration rate, of course, is about an order of magnitude larger at 700 per 100,000. So from a comparative point of view, the United States, as Nikki was saying very effectively, it's just incredibly unusual. We can think about the unusualness of the American penal system also in historical terms. And we have data that go back, imprisonment rates, that go back to the 1920s. And from 1925 to the early 1970s, the imprisonment rate was roughly constant, fluctuated a bit, but it was about 100 per 100,000, about this same level that we saw in Western Europe today. And then in the early 1970s, the system began to grow, and it's grown every single year for the last 36, 37 years now. And, of course, as we've heard this evening, this isn't the entire population under criminal justice supervision. We have 1.5 million people in prison. We have another 780,000 in local jails, 800,000 on parole, 4.2 million on probation. So right now we have over 7 million people under some sort of criminal justice supervision. This is entirely historically novel in the history of the country. These very high levels of supervision have only really emerged in the last decade or so. As striking as these figures are, this is not the most important thing about incarceration in the United States. The most important thing about incarceration in the United States is the inequality of its distribution. We can see this in the following way. So here's our incarceration rates, 1980 and 2008. By 2008, the incarceration rate prison and jail, 750 per 100,000. Three quarters of 1% of the population are behind bars. If we think about young men, if we think about young men with low levels of schooling, if we look at young white men with low levels of schooling who have dropped out of high school, for these guys under 35 years of age, the incarceration rate is 11,000 per 100,000. And, of course, the greatest disparity in the penal system is the racial disparity. If we look at young African-American men today, their incarceration rate is 11,000 per 100,000. If we look at young African-American men who have dropped out of high school, their incarceration rate is 37,000 per 100,000, 37% of all black men who have dropped out of high school under the age of 35 today are behind bars under lock and key in prison or jail. There's an incarceration rate 50 times higher than the national average. This is just a snapshot at a point in time. We might also ask, well, what's the likelihood you've ever been to prison at some point in your life? And we might be interested in this question because we think incarceration confers an enduring life status that affects a whole array of life chances, even after you've been released. And we want to know, well, what's the size of the group that are exposed to this risk of diminished life chances? If we look at African-American men who never went to college, 1 in 8 will go to prison at some point in their lives if they were born in the late 1940s. If they were born in the late 1940s, just after World War II. If they were born in the late 1970s, 30 years later, so they're growing up through the period of the prison boom, their lifetime risks of going to prison look like this. And for African-American men who dropped out of high school now, 70% of those men will serve time in a state or federal facility for a felony conviction, 28 months of time served now at the median. It's utterly normal for these recent birth cohorts of black low education men to serve time in prison. In fact, if we compare the risk of imprisonment, the likelihood of imprisonment, to other events that we think characterise the pathway through adulthood, imprisonment for African-American men today is much more common than completing college with a 4-year degree. Black men are much more likely to go to prison today than to finish college. They're much more likely to go to prison than serve in the military. The other thing to note about this table is no disparity is as large as the racial no racial disparity is as large as the criminal justice disparity. Nothing distinguishes the life experience of blacks and whites in America like contact with the criminal justice system. We could look at a whole variety of other social indicators, the wage gap, infant mortality rates, gaps in unemployment. The disparity in all those areas is much smaller than the racial disparity in incarceration. So this tells us something, I think, very profound about the state of American race relations, and I think we need, as we consider these issues, to consider the prison in the context of the pattern of social inequality in America. And we need to consider the prison, indeed, now at these extraordinary rates of incarceration, as a significant source of social inequality in America. So let me stop there.